Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hi there, and welcome to Simply Holy. Welcome to the next in my series called Springtime in the Church, where I'm exploring the many vocations for lay persons within this wonderful, amazing church that we have. And today I'm so excited to have Justin Vanley McLean with me. I've known Justin for a few years at least, and love his work. He's an author, and he's the author of Call to Teach, Daily Inspirations for Catholic Educators, and also Called to Pray, Daily Prayers for Catholic Schools. Both of these books are published by Ave Maria Press. Justin blogs at National Catholic Register, and he's also a high school teacher. He teaches high school theology and Spanish. I've invited him to chat with us about his experiences as a lay Dominican. Hey, Justin, welcome.
Thank you, Marsh. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, I'm thrilled. It's so exciting because I get to learn, and as well as my listeners, because I know of these many amazing ways to serve the church, but I want to know more. So please tell us a little bit about your background, because I know I touched the tip of the iceberg only in introducing you.
So as you mentioned, I'm a high school theology teacher as my vocation there, lowercase v vocation. My uppercase v vocation is as a husband and father. I'm married to Bernadette, and we have four wonderful kids. They're all 9 and under. So we have John Paul, Mary Christine, Therese, Dominique, and we also have one on the way due in late August. So
I'm just congratulations.
Thrilled to be a thrilled to be a husband and a father. So as a theology teacher, where I've taught for 14 years, going on 15 at Bishop McNamara High School in Forestville, Maryland. That's here in the Archdiocese of Washington, specifically in Prince George's County, which is just outside of D.C. So I'm a native Prince Georgian, as we call ourselves, and I've lived my entire life here. And grew up in the Catholic faith, and my parents did a stand-up job of raising me in that, and I went to St. Mary the Assumption Elementary School in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and then to Bishop McNamara High School. And after that, I went to college and then spent a year in the seminary studying for the Archdiocese of Washington, realized that that's not what God was calling me to, but I still greatly spiritually benefited from that year, so I'm so thankful for that experience. So after that, I still wanted to serve the church in some capacity, and I started teaching Spanish at Bishop McNamara High School and later theology there at McNamara. And that's actually where Bernadette and I met back in 07. So we got married in 09 and are getting ready to celebrate 11 years on August 15th. I guess that's not too close, but anyway. So that's me in a nutshell, and I'm just enjoying life as a husband, father, and someone who really, really, really enjoys talking about my faith and the beauties of the Catholic Church.
That is fantastic. And I'm glad that you gave us that whole spectrum of all that you are and do, because that's one of the things that I find when I talk to people about lay persons serving the church in a particular, you know, along with a particular order or movement, or we could go on and on. There's many different ways, but the surprised look on their faces when they find out you can do this and not be part of a religious order, as in many cases as a single person, but as a married couple, they're absolutely blown away. And in the case of my husband and I, we are consecrated members in the Schoenstatt movement, the Apostolic Family Federation, and we make a commitment, we make a promise, a solemn consecration to the Blessed Mother and to the Federation, to live in the spirit of chastity and obedience. And you can imagine where minds go. It's kind of funny. It's like, and we have four children. And they're like, wait, you do what? How can you do chastity in marriage? And I'm expecting to hear similar things from you, but we need to know, how did you get to this, where you are now? So tell me, first of all, what is a lay Dominican? And I may not even be, you may have a better name for that. I've always found it as lay Dominicans, and I've met several and was really in awe of your spirituality.
So lay Dominican is the right term. Previously, we were called Third Order Dominicans, but lay Dominican is the typical term that you hear now. And we have a devotion, of course, to St. Dominic, who founded the Dominicans back in 1216. So going on 1,004 years ago. I had to do the math there. I'm sorry, 804 years ago.
Wow.
804 years ago, as of December. So we have a deep devotion to St. Dominic. And for those listening who may not know a lot about St. Dominic, he was a Spanish priest. And he, from a very young age, had a very pious existence. He didn't have one of the deep conversions, if you will, that many other famous saints had, but he was a rather straight arrow as far as the youth go. And after he became a priest, shortly thereafter, he noticed that there was a dilemma going on in society. And this is the abbreviated version here. Spare everyone the elongated version. But in the midst of the Albigensian heresy that was going on in Europe, especially in France, which was becoming increasingly popular and was leading many people away from the Catholic faith, he essentially saw the need to go out into society and to proclaim the truths of the gospel. So Veritas, Latin for truth, is the framework of how Dominicans operate. If you will, our charism is geared toward proclaiming the truths and beauty of the gospel in preaching. So we praise, bless, and preach, so to speak, looking at the Dominican motto of Laudare, Benedicere, Predicare. So that's essentially who the Dominicans are, and there are three principal realms, if you will. You have the priests, who are the friars, so they begin as brothers, and then if they're called to ordination, then they become priests, so they're friars, preachers, as they're called. You also have the cloistered nuns, and they live removed from participation in active society, and they live a contemplative life in cloisters. And they really are the powerhouses of the Dominican Order, and this flies in the face of society, which says you have to do, and you have to be so active and busy all the time doing this and that. But their prayerful presence really is the fortification of the Dominican Order, and by extension, uplifting the church in various ways. We also have Dominican sisters who are not cloistered nuns per se, but who are serving in various other capacities, such as in education. And those Dominican sisters are dynamite educators. If you want to look at someone who is entirely given to proclaiming the good news to the youth, you can look no further than the Dominican sisters in doing that. And the third realm, if you will, is the laity, so lay Dominicans. We are able to, similar to what you mentioned, to form and orient our lives toward our rule, if you will, of St. Dominic as lay Dominicans. And you'll find lay Dominicans in all sorts of different roles all around the globe, but we are similar in terms of our adherence to the charism of St. Dominic.
And what
That's
is that?
In a nutshell.
What is that charism? How would you, I mean, you said actually a lot about what it is, but if somebody said, someone asked you, so what is your main thing? At least I've been asked that a lot. Like, what do you mean by main thing? But I don't know if you understand what I mean by that, what are you most known for? What is that charism that typifies the Dominican?
Okay, so there are four main pillars to the lay Dominican charism, and those are prayer, study, preaching, and community. In terms of prayer, we are expected, and I use the word expected in quotation marks because it's something that we find joy in doing, and that is that we're expected to pray the rosary every day. To pray the divine office as possible, to devote ourselves to study, to learning about the life of St. Dominic and about famous Dominican saints and blesseds, and to look to the example of another lay Dominican, St. Catherine of Siena, and many Catholics may not realize that she's actually a lay Dominican. As well as to preaching, and that doesn't mean preaching in the same way that a clergyman will preach, at least not necessarily. Rather, it means preaching with our lives, whether that be at the water cooler or at the dinner table or on the sidewalk, what have you, but looking for distinct and unique ways to bring the gospel out into the world. So those are the first three, and then we have community. So each lay Dominican is typically assigned to a chapter. There's an expectation that you're a member of a particular chapter. And for me, for example, I'm in the lay Dominican chapter of the Immaculate Conception, which meets monthly at the Dominican House of Studies in D.C., Northeast D.C. So that's my chapter. And that's where I've been since I became a lay Dominican in 2017. So I'm still a relatively new lay Dominican. There are some who have been lay Dominicans for many decades, and they really are models of sanctity and provide a good example in terms of their faith witness. So those are the four pillars: prayer, study, preaching, and community. And we bring those into our daily lives, whether we are married with children, whether single, and so forth. Many lay Dominicans are married with children, and we bring that into our marriages in order to enrich our commitment to our spouse. And That's another element. You may have many situations in which two lay Dominicans are married. So in those situations, the husband and wife are able to bring that aspect, that charism into their marriage. In my case, I'm a lay Dominican, but Bernadette is not. But I hope that I'm still able to enrich our marriage in that way in terms of looking at the various aspects of the charism and how it builds up society and the world.
Well, I can't imagine it not benefiting not only your marriage, but your children as well. They have to be able to recognize what you're doing, and obviously you're doing it with the blessing of Bernadette. So in many ways, you are presenting this beautiful spirituality to your children.
I certainly hope so. For the big Dominican feast days, we often will have cake or cupcakes or ice cream or do something special on those days so that the kids can learn more about the saint whom we celebrate on that day, August 8th, for instance, being the memorial of Saint Dominic. So we have those celebrations that are distributed throughout the year, and Bernadette and I try to teach them about the different Dominican saints, and it really helps that Saint Thomas Aquinas is the patron saint of students, because when you get a lot of Dominicans together, I have this designation that I apply, and I consider it a compliment if I ever call anyone this, and that's you have a collection of nerds. You have a big gathering of nerds. We really take the intellectual life of the church. We take that intellectual life so seriously. So with Bernard and I both being trained educators, and with us homeschooling our children, and with me being a high school teacher, we really take education in the faith seriously and solid, robust catechesis. So that charism within the order of study is something that really enriches and reinforces our goal in terms of uplifting the faith life of the church through its intellectual tradition.
Now, I do have a question, and that is, did you go through a time of formation?
Yes, very good question. So in the years leading up to my being received in the Dominican order, I realized how many Dominicans I had come to know, both friars and sisters, as well as lay Dominicans. And I realized that they so positively portrayed the church, going all the way back to when I was in college, which in the first years of college for me was a time of stepping away from my faith. I didn't take my faith life seriously at all. And then once I became active in the Catholic Student Center at the University of Maryland, there were some Dominicans who would often come. So coming to know them, and some of my friends actually went into the Dominican order. And I realized over the years following that this was something that I felt increasingly drawn to as I learned about the lay Dominicans in particular. And so I started going to the meetings there at the Dominican House of Studies as an inquirer, as it's called, and I continued discerning. And after about a year as an inquirer, if you remain in good standing and consistently attend the meetings, then you are able to be received as a novice. So during that inquirer year, there are different modules in which you learn about what being a Dominican entails. And for that year as a novice, which for me started in 2017, that's a period of really intense study where we look at the Summa Theologica and the Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena and other writings, and we learn more intensely about the rule to see if this is something that you're continuously called to. For me, it was, and in 2018, I was received as making temporary promises. So temporary promises are for 3 years, so I'm still within that realm, if you will. And we haven't met in a few months, at least not in person due to the COVID restrictions. But this coming Sunday, we'll actually be meeting as a chapter for the first time in a few months. So that's how I came to enter the Dominican Order. And if you want to talk about solid people, you'll find that in fellow lay Dominicans. Well, I can speak for them. I don't want to speak for myself. But in terms
but you've observed a lot, so I think that gives you some credibility there.
So in terms of just the really solid friendships that form and the communal support and the fraternalism that you see there, that's an undercurrent that runs through our entire order. And as lay Dominicans, we are able to look at that aspect of community.
So front to back, about how many years, and I understand that time of being an inquirer, it seems like that might be able to vary, but once you've made up your mind, how many years then until you make your final profession?
So the inquiry stage is about a year, and then the novice stage is a year. And then after 3 years of temporary promises, you have the possibility of making perpetual promises. And I do want to indicate that they're not vows. That's an important distinction. It's not a vow in the sense of what a friar or a nun or a sister would take. Rather, it's a promise.
Okay.
Meaning that if someone's not able to attend daily mass, for instance, one day, it's not under a penalty of sin, if you will. So it's one of those things where as laymen and women, as members of the laity, we have this aspect to our lives and we are in the world. So being a member of the Order of St. Dominic as a lay person means bringing your charisms out into the world. And so if someone after those years continues to be called to do this, then you have the possibility of making perpetual promises if they're granted by the president of the chapter.
Wow. That is, it's beautiful. And, you know, I'm thinking of someone who goes, oh, man, all those years. But you're being fulfilled along the way. Maybe I didn't phrase that quite so perfectly, but it's not like you're on pause for 5 years and then all of a sudden you're in. But you're learning and growing and experiencing all along the way. Is that true?
That's true. It's a discernment process. As with any vocation, you don't want to rush into it or not really give the prayerful time necessary to be certain that this is what you're called to do. So there really is a discernment process. And with the support of the clergy, for instance, we have a chaplain. Each chapter has a chaplain, and he will assist in that process. And it's a communal effort in terms of the lay Dominicans as well as family members, because, of course, with me being married and Bernadette essentially being a part of this, although not being a lay Dominican herself, she's still obviously greatly involved in this discernment process. So that's what we encounter. It's an ongoing process over the course of years to see if this is what someone is ultimately called to do, because we certainly don't want to rush into any commitment. We want to take the time to ensure that this is definitely a lifestyle to which God is calling us.
Well, that's just so beautiful. So, Justin, tell me what a day in the life of Justin is like as a lay Dominican? What does that look like? If someone wants to kind of picture that, what does it look like?
Okay. Well, it usually involves being awakened by screaming children at some point early in the morning.
But that's not part of being a Dominican, right?
for some lay Dominicans, it very well may be. So there's that, and you know, I get up and whenever possible, and this is especially easy during the school year when daily mass is available at my school, or also during the summer when it's available. Right now we have the COVID restrictions, so that's not a possibility, of course. And we're called to pray the Liturgy of the Hours throughout the day. And one of my favorite aspects is being encouraged as well to devote oneself to spiritual reading, especially scripture. I love reading the Bible, so I try to read about 3 chapters a day of the Bible, depending on the book. And those are the primary forms that the day takes. And also in terms of the daily rosary, I often run. In fact, I run pretty much every day. I think today will be day 601 of straight running. So when I run, I actually pray the rosary while I run. So I try to take any intentions that anyone has to offer, and I offer those up while running. And I don't have the beads with me at that time. I usually just use my fingers as I'm running along. So that's my daily rosary. And depending on if it's a work day or the weekend, that's pretty much what my day looks like. But as a husband and a father, of course, my primary vocation is that of being a husband and father. So throughout the day, spending time with family. So Brennan and I really try to use the weekends to ensure that we're spending as much time together as a family, doing different activities and going on different adventures and having nature hikes and things like that. So that's what a quote-unquote day looks like for me. And along with being an educator, I'm also a fellow writer, as are you. We're both writers for Ave Maria Press. So at any given time, I have projects that I'm working on in terms of writing and for the National Catholic Register and other outlets and doing podcasts and interviews such as this. So that's how I try to live out the charism of lay Dominican on any given day.
Wow. And that's a jam-packed day, but I can tell that you really do emanate joy. I can tell that you really love obviously there are tough days for everybody, but that you really love your life and you love your Dominican calling, and it's so beautiful to see.
The joy of the Lord is our strength, as Scripture tells us, and when we follow Him, He enlivens us, and when we look at the word enjoy, being a disciple is something that we should enjoy, and if there's not joy there, there's something going on in the spiritual life that has to be looked at. There has to be some remedy taken. So yes, I do find great joy in living my Catholic faith, and I really do appreciate opportunities to see other Catholics such as you and so many others who are enjoying their faith, this journey with the Lord.
Yeah. I have to ask then also, since Simply Holy is the name of the podcast, and this is one of the things I try to do is encourage people in their journey toward holiness, how would you say your Dominican spirituality helps you specifically in your striving for holiness?
So going with what I mentioned a few minutes ago when I talked about the history of the Dominican order and how St. Dominic had this approach of proclaiming veritas, or the truth, it's increasingly difficult to do so in modern times. at least proclaiming the truth with charity. Finding that balance of proclaiming the truth of the gospel, yet doing so with equal parts charity and clarity. So as lay Dominicans, we're expected to remain aware of, if you will, modern church documents in order to have a current awareness of the faith and any number of current events and so forth, what's going on both in and outside of the church. So in terms of proclaiming truth, it's missionary territory in the 21st century, not unlike what St. Dominic encountered 800 years ago. It's really not unlike that in terms of so many different layers of deception that seem to outdo themselves with each passing day. And
I agree completely.
And holding up the light of the gospel in order to drive out that darkness is a daily challenge, yet it's a challenge that comes with reward. And it comes with a reward because we get to see Christ in the world. When we proclaim the gospel, we get to see what not we, but what he is doing in the world. And the movements of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at all the different saints who really had a tough go of things in terms of how they were not necessarily at first inclined toward living the gospel. You think, for example, of St. Augustine of Hippo or St. Francis of Assisi or St. Ignatius of Loyola. When you look at them and so many other saints who may not have been fully on board with following the gospel and what the Lord did in their lives. So this really is an era of saint making, I'm convinced. As the forces of darkness seem to wreak havoc on the world, and in many ways they are doing so, at the same time, we have so many different lights that are arising. We have so many different ways in which we see people being called to holiness because it's something that's new. I can tell you that as a teacher, I've taught for 14 years, and if a student asks a question about a difficult teaching of Jesus, and as I often remind them and everyone else, every single teaching of Jesus is difficult to somebody at some time, somewhere. So they're all difficult, if you will. But in terms of the hot button issues, if you will, I've often found that if a student has a question about that, when I do my best to share the church's teaching on it, there's often a refreshing response, such as, wow, I never thought of it that way, or that makes sense. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's often plenty of misunderstanding at times in terms of perhaps there was some resentment about the teaching or so forth, but getting to proclaim the truths of the gospel is something that is increasingly refreshing in modern times. So as a lay Dominican, since we have truth at the forefront of what we proclaim, that's what lets me sleep at night. With all that's going on in the world, knowing that, and it may seem cliche, but just knowing that God is in control, there's not that much of a distance between the worst sinner and the best saint. If we look at St. Paul, for instance, who was public enemy number one of Christians, and of all the people out there, Jesus chose him. And I love that line from Acts of the Apostles when he says to Ananias that Paul is a chosen instrument of mine. So I think we have many future Pauls in modern times. So that's what lets me sleep at night, and just the refreshment that the gospel brings when we bring it out into the world is something that enlivens me as a lay Dominican, and it really reinforces my faith and my vocation.
That's a great way to put it. I mean, it's a very different aspect of what I've been hearing from all of the different folks that I have talked to and who are laypersons in a particular, you know, who have made promises to a particular community, but they all have a different version of this idea of, well, this is what keeps me on track. This is what continues to deepen my faith. And it's beautiful to hear that from your viewpoint, because some of the things you said I hadn't really thought about before. You know, I look at all of the things kind of crowding in on us, and I think, oh, good grief, where is this world going? But you had a beautiful point in that there are these Pauls that are out there that are yet to, you know, they're still Saul. They haven't converted to Paul yet, and this will happen. And you bring such a message of hope, and I'm grateful for that. Tell me if someone wanted to know more. So someone's listening to this podcast, or someone sees your amazing work online somewhere or in your books and wants to know, gee, you know what? I want to know more about this lay Dominican thing. What should they do?
So depending on where someone is geographically, there may or may not be a chapter. There often tend to be chapters closer to cities, as can be imagined. So if someone goes to the website for the Dominicans, or even just simply Googles Lay Dominican, then they can find a chapter for their particular location. And there may not be one close, but there will be some way in which there will be someone at the closest chapter who will connect with them in some way. For the Dominican House of Studies, we have members coming from D.C. itself, many coming from Maryland, where I live. We have a lot who come from Northern Virginia, from Pennsylvania, and so forth. So it really depends on what's available in terms of different chapters. But even if someone isn't able to necessarily go to meetings at a chapter right now, he or she can still begin the discernment process by connecting with someone in the closest chapter. So that's what I'd recommend. We always need more men and women who are open to what God is calling them. And I'm very proud to say that one of my former students of Bishop McNamara High School. He's now halfway done his undergrad at Catholic University, and he joined the Immaculate Conception chapter of Lay Dominicans. He was received into the Dominican Order. His name is Thomas Doe, so hello, Thomas, if you're listening. And he is someone who is really upstanding in his faith and takes his faith so seriously. So whether someone is 18 or 80 or anywhere in between or even more than 80, if someone is an adult, then that person can begin the process of discerning to be a lay Dominican. Who knows, maybe somebody's far younger. Such if you look at St. Catherine of Siena, for instance, she was a lot younger when she was called to holiness, but it wasn't until somewhat later that she entered the Dominican. So there's still that openness to the gospel, if you will. So that's something that's a reality. I would encourage anyone who feels called to be a lay Dominican to really begin that discernment process, that prayerful process. Spend some time in front of the Eucharist at a holy hour, perhaps. Offer that as one of your intentions at Mass. Offer that within your rosary. And I just want to say that we Dominicans have a very strong devotion to Mother Mary. And I know that you do as well, Marge, especially given your books and so forth. So stay close to Mother Mary, and the closer you stay to Mary, the more deeply she'll intercede for you and help you gain clarity in terms of what you're called to. So that's my message for anyone who might be open to being a lay Dominican.
Fantastic. And Justin, where can we find you? So to find your books, to find out more about your work, where do we look?
So I have some books for, especially for Catholic school teachers, not only for them, as well as a new book called Alleluia to Amen, the prayer book for Catholic parishes. And those are through Ave Maria Press. So you can buy my books there. And I understand that you also are a veteran Ave author. So hope that anyone listening can look at Marge's books there too. And also on the National Catholic Register, which is a very prominent publication here in the United States and throughout the world that gives a really strong voice to the church around the world in terms of leading its readers to Christ and to the beauties of the church. So that's where you can find my writings.
Perfect. And I have to say it's worth looking into, because Justin's a great writer, and I love your work, Justin. I really do. So I'm just thrilled that we've been able to spend this time together and to give this different view of you, perhaps, and this beautiful view of the lay Dominicans. And I appreciate your time and all of the beautiful things that you had to share with us. I know it will. It's going to spark some life somewhere in some hearts when they listen to this podcast. Well, folks, I have to close the show, and I'm sad. I could sit here talking to Justin all afternoon. Please, if you are looking for more information about me, or you want to find the link to this podcast, go to marchfenelon.com. You can find all of the videos in the podcast, and certainly this one, and any other information about if you want to invite me to speak, or goodness knows what else. I have so much on my website that I can offer you. My blog is there. And again, please do visit Justin online and view his amazing work, buy his books, because they're fantastic. Justin, thank you so much. Until soon.
Thank you, Marge, and God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
Certainly.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/redboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.